That was bad timing.
I know.
The computer is getting a little old. She's dragging. But we're live. We're hot.
We're hot. Got a guy, a couple, maybe 200 yards behind us, screaming some America out.
They're shooting some fireworks. So
yes.
You'll probably hear, that has to be coming through.
Yeah. I'm hoping this is the grand finale.
We've been saying that for like 10 minutes, holding off.
Yep.
Welcome to the Redfish Registry, number 19.
Number 19, yes.
Lucky 19.
Go to Instagram and Facebook and like our pages.
Wow.
I'm getting it out there.
We are getting better.
I had it in my mind all the way down here.
Oh, nice work.
Yep. Yes. And review.
Mm-hmm. Hit the subscribe button.
Review.
Not that I can see that you are or aren't subscribed.
Yeah.
But leave a review. Hey, Gooch, you're the man.
That's right.
Left a review. Need to send him a sticker.
I know.
Do we have any more stickers?
Yeah, I've got all the stickers I was supposed to send people and still haven't. Pony Express hadn't been through yet.
Yeah. It's been a few days.
So we
have a guest in the studio. And by studio, I mean the back porch.
It's good to be back.
The Cashmere Killer.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
It's good to have a third voice in this mix.
It's always a pleasure.
We're wanting some words of wisdom from the Cashmere Killer during this episode.
He's just a wise soul.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what I can do.
I mean, he's not really old, but he is kind of wise.
It's true.
Who's older? Are you older or he older?
He's older. No, I'm older.
You're older.
Excuse me.
Goodness gracious. I look way older.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, I just...
It's hard to tell.
You don't look way older.
I look a little
older. I don't mean that to say, like, I feel embarrassed that you might look older. I just mean in the sense of you shouldn't think you look older.
They card you... At restaurants that serve adult beverages, and they don't card me.
You've got the facial hair.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you guys, I feel like I'm doing a podcast with Dale Jr. and Howie Mandel. just by looking at these two guys. Dale Jr. in like the early 2000s with the little fro going. And
I don't even know who that is.
Howie Mandel?
I'm not sure who that guy is. I'll have to Google him right now.
Yeah, get on the Goog.
I'm probably going to be disappointed.
Maybe it's just the bald head.
I don't know. It's much better than Dale Jr.
I've been shaving it close, man.
So I have a Dale Jr. story.
Let's hear it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. I told Chase this last week after we recorded. I was at a work event.
Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel. How freaking dare you? Good grief. That's an insult right there. Good grief.
It's better than somebody saying you look like Luke Bryan.
Thought we were friends.
Hey, I'll take people saying I look like Luke Bryan all day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hizzy down.
You want to look like that guy? Not me.
If I shoot that deer, I will look like that guy.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
So anyway
Dale Jr., yeah.
I was at a work event, and... We were mingling with other battery people, and a battery guy's wife that works for a different company. Maybe it had too many to drink.
Yeah,
she was
like somebody I know.
Anyway, she walked up to me and put her hand on my stomach and said, "You look just like Dale Jr." And that happened more than once that night. It was a little awkward.
So when you say...
My wife just laughed.
So when you say she put her hand on your stomach, was it like kind of like a side wraparound? Like,
yeah, kind of like an awkward side hug thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything suggestive. It was just
like she wanted to be close to Dale Jr.
Yeah, I guess I put off that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It was... I don't know. It was... I was kind of like, that's kind of cool. And at the same time, I was like, that's kind of weird. So...
Yeah.
That's enough of that story.
Good story.
Yep. So,
did you see Missouri Department of Conservation?
Missouri Department of Conservation. That's right. Hey, we're checking our audio levels here.
Sorry.
You're good.
Okay.
You're,
we good?
Yeah, we're perfect.
All right.
That's much better.
So, they expanded the CWD zones by a lot of counties.
I think it was 40.
40 or 41 counties.
I had it pulled up so that we would be speaking 41 counties to be adding to the deer feeding ban.
Yeah, that's feed and mineral, right?
Feed and mineral, yeah. The 12 new counties are Barry, Benton, Cedar, Dade, Hickory, Ozark, Polk, St. Clair, St. Francis, St. Genevieve Stone, and Taney.
Wow.
So, bad news for this guy.
Yeah. At least got some food plots up and going. And
yep. Yep. Food plots are still very much legal. No issues with that. That was they did answer that, so.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast talking about CWD, and they were saying that in some of the areas that I guess it's they called it a prion, whatever the heck that is, like a protein or something,
right,
that gets up in their brains, and but they can it can like stay in the soil for a long time. It's not just like a deer takes crap there and or leaves something there. When it's gone, it's gone. It's
sticking around for a while.
It's sticking around for a while.
It is a prion. That's what Brett told me. He said it's a prion, which is unlike a bacteria or virus similar to the mad cow disease or scrapies. It's not very well understood in any species.
So, yeah, like scrapies in sheep, like right? The mountain goats and that type of stuff get it, I think.
And they're super susceptible to, not to go too far off, but the mountain goats and things like that, the bighorn rams and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're super susceptible to pneumonia.
Hmm.
So if you introduce new, maybe... that's why they don't spread them like they, you know. Anyway, it can wipe out entire herds, so they don't transplant them to new areas.
Hmm.
Little
maybe
piece
they
of
should
useful
think about that with deer or elk or.
Yeah, I've heard the argument that elk is what caused it to come because it started in Arkansas.
Yeah,
I mean, I shouldn't say it did not start in Arkansas. In our general vicinity, it was first found in north central Arkansas, where. Elk were also introduced here in the last 15, 20 years.
I think in all the testing that they've done in Arkansas and Newton County, which is like the hot zone, which is where the elk were introduced, there was 164 cases.
Huh.
Which is, that's why they think the elk brought it over.
Yeah. Like, I don't get, like, and I know the conservation and people want to bash them and whatever, they're a lot smarter than we are and they know what's going on, but...
Yeah, it's easy to sit there on your Facebook ivory tower and, you know, cast down judgment.
Like, I just don't get, like, they're like, we have one confirmed positive in this county, you know. Is that something to really be worried about, or is that just, like, I mean, I guess there's more.
Yeah,
just
there,
one
I mean,
was
based
tested,
on,
yeah.
So based on, like, you know, if you listen to many conservation, you know, either a podcast or a video or an episode of anything, they have those, you know, systems that they say if there's one, then there's this statistical chance of however many X more, and what's the realistic output of that?
Yeah,
part of the ban in this in 2017 in these states is now mandatory to have those deer tested.
Mm-hmm.
So
your deer will have to be tested.
My deer
will
have to be tested.
Yes.
Fortunately, our processor that we use. Has that capability.
Gotcha.
And does that. So
you'll know quick. You'll know.
We'll know quick because that same processor is on the state line, and they oftentimes will get Arkansas deer, and they had to do it last year.
I had two deer tested last year, and if you have a chance to watch the MDC take that sample, you should, because I'd heard about this before on another podcast, and I've never seen it.
This is disgusting.
It's called a bot fly larva.
Yeah.
Every deer has it, basically.
Nasty.
And if you take a sample, like the MDC is going to see if there's CWD, you know, in the deer, they'll cut this section of the neck out, and you'll see these bot fly larva.
I think I've seen videos of them digging those out of people's backs.
It might be. It's a huge, nasty worm, and there's 20 or 30 of them in there, and all deer have them.
It's disgusting. Huh.
It changed the way I see the deer. Usually I see a doe walk into a field and I'm just like, I can smell the back straps on my grill. And now I'm just like, it is a freight train of parasites walking out in that field right there.
So there's really no confirmed cases that CWD's, like if you kill a deer that's positive, that it can transfer to humans from everything I've read and seen.
Yeah.
But... I guess the Center for Disease Control?
Mm-hmm. CDC.
And the World Health Organization both recommend not eating the deer.
Really?
Yes.
If tested positive.
If tested positive.
Huh. Yeah, so, I don't know that I would.
I think it's a slow death if you do get it. Like, I don't think it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It eats your insides out.
I heard it was non-transferable, but I bet that would make you sick.
Like, well, it so it doesn't,
I wonder, is it like...
So it gets in your blood. It's in your spinal column. And I guess these prions or whatever they are normally, like, reproduce or die or are shed every, like, 2 hours. And the ones that are mutated or whatever with the CWD goes into the brain, doesn't break down or whatever you want to call it properly, and then it just starts clogging everything up and making holes in your brain.
And that's when you turn to a zombie.
Yes.
We said we weren't going to talk about this too much.
I know, but...
It's you know, big news for where we are, and it's big news everywhere.
So I've got a farm that I have a mineral site and a feeder 30 yards into one of these new counties. Like, literally, on one side of the road, I could feed mineral, and 30 yards the other way, no bueno. Mm. So.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. But we'll trust them. Keep going, doing what they're doing, and hopefully it
didn't get working, too bad. It's working in the northern states that have gone through this and fully... have seen the ramifications of this disease going through large herds, and you got to be careful. So,
yeah,
we'll follow the guidelines. If you can't kill deer
without
over corn
yeah.
you're kind of a bum anyway.
Do you know if I kill a deer in Kansas, if I can bring that sucker back to Missouri, or if I have to like cape it out and clean the skull and everything?
I think you have to clean it.
Do you?
I'm not going to do your work for you.
I know.
I didn't get invited to Kansas.
I think it's anytime you cross the state line.
Well, I know it's certain states. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't kill a deer last year, so I really don't. Whatever. So.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Yep. So we have got some, I guess, messages, emails asking about.
Oh, you want to hear the Hotwire story first?
Hotwire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I thought this would be funny.
Okay.
This is entertainment too, right?
It's
not just
is.
Information.
Yeah.
So we're putting a hot wire fence up in about a third of our bean field.
So why are you putting it up? Explain that.
Okay.
Just, I mean,
so,
people are like, oh, you're putting...
Yeah, that might sound a little strange if you don't follow many guys that professional deer managers and things like that. So anyway, Mark, the Drury's, the... growingdeer.tv, you know, it's a very common practice for if you have a large food plot, you can hot wire off a section of it.
Yeah, not the whole thing.
Not the whole thing, just a section. And most of the time, they'll do very strategic sections, and then they open it up right before archery season or whenever you want it. In our case, we just have a large square field, and we don't hunt directly over the field in archery season, but for muzzleloader and rifle season we would. So anyway, we're sectioning this field off, and we've set all the stakes in the ground and ran our first string of line all the way across it and around it, excuse us, and hooked it all up, and it got we hooked it up and we tested it. We were like, who's gonna be the guy? So Trevor and I was doing this, our cashmere killer, and so Trevor grabbed it first, and it wasn't doing much. Wasn't very hot, was it?
It's like a tiny little sensation.
Little prick. Just a little.
Not a big deal.
Just a little tingle.
Yeah. You could feel it, but it didn't hurt at all. So we were fidgeting with the controller or the charger, whatever. I don't know. With everything you hook to the battery.
Yeah.
The power source. And hooked it back up, and we grabbed the wire again. It wasn't really doing anything, so it's like,
it's hot. I was getting frustrated.
It was warm, and we were like, gosh, we've been out here 2.5 hours.
Never done this before.
Yeah, your Snapchats were pretty entertaining.
I had my shirt off. It was hot.
It was hot.
Yeah, I was thought you were going to sunburn. I mean, there was a reflection off of you when...
Yeah, I definitely got a little sun. So yeah. So then we're standing at the corner of the hot wire fence, and we use metal T-posts to anchor the corners so that it can turn. It's not going to pull the little plastic posts out of the ground. Trevor, what happened?
I leaned against the T-post and grabbed the fence to test it like I had done previously before, and that T-post was a fantastic ground.
Yeah.
And properly conducted.
It shocked the absolute crap out of me, and, you know, I wasn't expecting it, and it was a shock to the system.
Did you poop your pants?
I did not poop my pants, but I said a choice word.
Yeah. What brand did you use? Is it just like a...
Oh, gosh.
I mean, is it just from a feed store? Just
yeah,
like
I was bought MFA.
Gallagher or something?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So I just was wondering, because there's certain, like, I guess, I don't know how it'd be deer-specific, but deer-specific, like...
There are deer-specific
fences.
Gallagher makes one, and then there's another one that's like... Gallagher makes all sorts of hot wire fences for all sorts of applications, but and all sorts of things, but... They have a deer system, quote unquote, and then there's another one that I can't recall off the top of my head, but it's a deer.
It's like Hot Zone or something.
Hot Zone or something like that, and it's like marketed specifically for
you know what
food plots.
Deer specific means.
No, it's just rebranded agriculture product.
Yeah, and it's about twice as expensive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it is a little fancier. The ones I looked at, instead of having the regular, like, cable, or it's like a poly rope. They have the ribbon that's thicker.
A little
ribbon
more visible.
Scares them a little
more visible.
More.
It's more. It's really, it's like a horse pin.
Yeah.
Mm.
You could probably hang like some pieces of ribbon strategically across yours.
Yeah.
That'd probably help.
Thought about some like orange, you know, hang them like a foot long so when the wind blows, it they don't want to get touched by that at all. And if it's moving all over the place, I think it'll scare them a little more.
Yeah. On to your neighbors?
No.
Not that far, hopefully.
Yeah.
We got beagles for them anyway. They know.
You got what?
We got beagles. We got trained beagles to run over there and scare all the deer back towards us.
Bring them back towards you.
That was the running joke last year between us all.
Hey, it's a real deal. My coworker Drew just had 7 beagle puppies. And I
bought
all of them.
Bought them all.
And a drone.
A fire-breathing drone.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. So, yeah, this week, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so...
Other than what we've already rambled on 17 minutes about.
Well, you know.
It's part of the allure.
So I got... I've got a couple messages from guys.
Me too, because I'm so good. I get all sorts of questions there.
And a couple emails that were just asking about, like... I don't want to necessarily say how I scout, but, like, how we find fish, I guess. And I guess I'll be the first to say that I'm probably like anybody else. I only post pictures of the nights where we go out and kill the crap out of them. I don't just, well, didn't kill any tonight.
We should do that, though, but, like, fake, like, hold up a air fish or something.
Yeah.
Be like, slayed them tonight, boys.
So anyway, I was just going to kind of, we can all, that's a big old bug.
Scared? Yeah,
I was scared. It looked like it was fire breathing.
Mm.
So anyway, just kind of go over how we, you know, maybe dissect a lake or look at it. And
We had an episode with Tommy and Shorty.
Yeah.
We talked, it was going to be about scouting. And, you know, they talked a little bit about scouting. But
yeah,
maybe not as much as some people would have requested.
Yeah. And we're no Tommy and Shorty.
No, we are not.
Definitely not short.
We're like...
And definitely haven't won, like, 40 tournaments in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Definitely
but,
not. Hey, we got a... Between the two of us, we got a second place.
Yeah, I mean, if we figure our average finish, I mean, we're like mid-30s, right?
Oh, dude, like, easy top 25%.
Yeah. So, how we dissect a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what... Say we went to Gunnersville.
Yep, sure.
Okay. I hate to use Gunnersville because everybody kind of goes there. So we're going to Gunnersville.
Forget Gunnersville. Say you're going to a totally new lake that.
Yes.
Like, hey, we're going to South Dakota to this lake because there's some fat commons.
Yes.
What are you gonna do? I know what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna drive up there and wander around for about 4 days until I figure it out.
Okay.
No, I'm not really.
I'm gonna get on Google Earth.
Okay.
To start.
Okay.
So what do we look for?
Well, I mean,
I think not to give, you know. Well, I mean, what heck?
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
It's July.
Yeah.
You know, if we are what we say we are, we're trying to help. So let's do it.
So if I was going to completely new lake, I would start out by going to Google Earth and probably finding. I'm trying to think here. Maybe this is so hard for me.
I'd probably try
to find two or three specific types of water. I'd try to find. You can see shallow areas on Google Earth for sure. You can see vegetation on Google Earth for sure.
You can tell what kind of bank it's going to be. You can tell topography.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell if it's a big, you know, riprap or chunk rock, or if it's more of a.
Got mud flats or pea gravel, you know, pea gravel point.
Yeah.
You know, all these things.
So I'd go through and I'd try to figure out where these are.
Right.
And then I'd figure out, well, where am I staying or where's the tournament out of?
Mm-hmm.
And either decide if I want to go a long ways away or if I don't want to go a long ways away. I mean, I guess that's more tournament. We'll just stick with.
You know, I always want to look too. If you're looking on a map and you see like this spot and it's like, oh, that looks pretty good. Are there other spots similar to it?
I was going to get into that later.
In the same vicinity? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to get into that like once you're on the water and kind of.
Oh, okay. Well, but even if you're just looking at a Google Maps.
Yes.
You know, if you're like, oh, there's one mud bank on this side of the lake, or there's three or four of these other features that you're looking for on the totally opposite side.
Yeah.
I might go to the other side first that has a few more features that you're looking for instead of like putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And not, you know, just going there and like there's one mud bank and then everything else around it's, you know, 10-foot rock bluff all the way around it. You know, you may just, it's common sense, 90% of it. It's just, you know, deducting what you see and making a plan.
So once you have your plan made and kind of figure out, hey, this is...
Let's back up, too.
Okay.
Something I think that's super important is actually having a plan.
Yeah.
And not just going like, well, we're just going to... And I'm not talking about going to new water. I'm talking about same old water. Water you fished 100 nights. If you're going into a tournament, I mean, it's silly. It is sad to not have a plan.
Yes.
Or just roll in and be like, well, we're just going to go see what happens. I mean, nope. I don't think anybody wins tournaments going like, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, you need to have a solid plan and a plan B and maybe a plan C.
Yeah, probably a D too.
I've been that single plan guy many, many times, and I have been disappointed the vast majority of those times.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean... It's no fun when...
And we've talked about this in multiple episodes, but when plan A doesn't work, don't shut down.
Yeah.
That is...
I'm done.
Easier said than done to not just be like, oh, I had all these fish tied up and they're gone now, I'm going to cry in the bottom of the boat.
My grassy wasn't there. I'm going to go home and kick my dog and beat the wife.
Both of those things. Literally both of them.
Yeah.
Definitely kick the dog.
So one thing on Google Earth, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it. I always look at the lake level. And I mean, this is more for a tournament, but...
Right.
Like, take the Open this year.
Mm-hmm.
Water levels were horribly high. So I went back on Google Earth, and there's a date option. And I got back into, I think it was the early 2000s, maybe. And... A lot of the lakes were close to the level that where they are. I think it was 2008.
Right, and there's a website. You know, I'll go out and I'll spill the beans.
Yeah, just go.
Lakesonline.com, all right? You can go to your state. You can go to your specific lake. And I think they keep 3 years of information.
Is that the uslakes.com?
Lakesonline.com.
Oh.
This is the one that I found. There's probably more than one.
Yeah, I think there's
but a you can go. So here, let's just cruise. I've got it pulled up right now.
Yep.
And you go to Missouri. Do, 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 do. which you can buy a printed map as well. If you're a dinosaur, water levels, where are we at here? Anyway, in this place, you can pull 3 years?
I think it's three, yeah.
Yep. Or, yeah, 3 years. So right now I can have 17, 16, and 15. And you can go back and say, like, hey, remember that night, yada, 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 on this day? And you go back to your... we're just going to let all the cats out of the bag. Go back to old pictures. Go back to dates. Go figure out what
worked. Go find somebody else's pictures with big fish.
Go find somebody else's pictures.
Anyway, back to scouting.
That was golden. That was a golden nugget.
Should
we delete it?
I used to think bow fishing was an honest sport where people just went out, did their own thing, and kept their head down and did their own work. And now I'm realizing that if you are successful at all, and you send a picture to somebody, there is somebody watching you, and they know exactly what you did, where you went, everything.
Oh, if I take a picture, I don't have the bank in the background. I learned that from my dad in bass fishing. He showed me a picture one time of a guy holding up a big old bass. He's like, look at that. It's a nice bass. He's like, no. Look at that power line and that crapper in the background. He goes, I know exactly where he is.
And that's what makes it so fun, too, because
I'm not going to lie. I can pick out boat ramps. I can tell what boat ramp they're at, some boat ramps, by pictures on the boat ramp of fish on the ground.
That's an art right there.
Flat Creek Bridge is one of the ones.
A boat ramp savant.
Yes. I have like a catalog of all the boat ramps.
Genius.
Yeah. I really don't, but.
No, I know. But still, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so anyway,
Google Maps. Planning. Stage one.
Yep.
Get the Googler out. Do your research.
And let's just stick with fun fishing. Let's not stick with tournaments. I mean.
That's fine.
So, you're rolling to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Load up all your buddies.
The ones that can hit fish anyway.
Yep. And.
That was heavy.
Yeah, it was. So, you load up all your buddies, head to the lake, put the boat in, and you're like, all right, these are the spots I'm checking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
What do you do then?
What do you mean, what do you do then? You go to your spot, you're checking.
I know, but so say you check two or three, points or the backs of coves or creeks or whatever.
Whatever you're looking for.
Yeah.
Way to float your boat.
So say you check a cove and there's no fish on the points.
Uh-huh.
And there's some fish in the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no fish on the next point.
Right.
And then there's fish in the back of the next cove.
Right. What do you not do going forward?
You don't burn your trolling motor up by running the friggin' banks.
No, you don't, you silly.
Go around, go to the back, shoot your fish, jump down, drive around, hit the next cove.
Copy and paste what you find works.
Yes.
You know, if you're finding fish on points, and like you said, you go and you circle, you troll for an extra half mile to the next point. It's like, what are you doing there? You're burning resources. You're wasting time. And, those are two enough reasons to stop.
Oh, the time portion. I mean,
the time is enough. Yeah.
You know, we had a tournament on Table Rock.
You think all night, and you're like, oh, I got all night. I got all night to do this. And it's like, you are not moving fast enough.
Oh, I mean, even in my boat, there's some big coves with creeks in them that if I run the whole thing, it might take me 3 hours, But I just had a good point, and I completely forgot. Dang it.
Gosh.
Oh, so we had a tournament.
You're supposed to be the...
Yeah, we had a tournament.
Talent.
And, we found a bunch of big gar on flat points. And I did just that. I didn't troll the coves. I didn't troll the bank to the point. I drove with the big motor right to it, put the trolling motor down, shot gar, pulled it up, drove to the next one, and shot, kept shooting fish. I mean,
boom, boom, boom.
And once you find fish, I mean, don't lollygag around and I guess...
Yeah.
I mean, don't take your time going place to place. I mean, get there.
Have a plan. Have a plan rolling into the next spot. Be like, hey, you drop the drill motor. Hey, you do this, do that. And it's like every second kind of, it sounds silly, but it's true.
I mean, most people may not be this intense when they're just shooting for fun, but I still want to kill some good fish. And,
right.
You know, I want to be on fish. And even if I don't kill them, I like looking at them some. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You need good loud music, you know?
Yeah. Little Bruno Mars.
Sure.
24 karat magic.
I think the biggest thing for me is boat fishing, and I'm not, I mean, I feel like I'm not even qualified to be on this podcast because I'm just your regular old deckhand.
I'm not either. I haven't bow fished in about 2 weeks.
Oh, stop.
Well, I mean, I'm the guy that's like, hey, you know, get us off that stump, or hey, shoot that fish, or, you know, whatever. I don't do any planning. I just show up on game day, and I'm ready to roll.
I mean, you're like Allen Iverson. I mean, we're talking about practice.
Talking about practice? Come on.
But after I did this a few years, I realized that, you know, these fish are no different than any other animal. You know, when the weather changes, you know, the rain, you know, it's just like deer hunting. Things affect them. You know, when you look at the date, the time of year, the water temperature, it's just like archery, deer hunting. I mean, mm-hmm. If it's November 9th and it's 22 degrees in the morning and the wind's from the north,
you better be in the tree.
I know where to go. I know today's a pretty good day.
I mean, if it's April and the buffs are spawning, you better be on the water.
It's important to remember that they're animals and there are rules that cause them to do things that they do.
Do you keep a journal?
For deer hunting, I do. I have a journal that's in my bag that I carry when I'm hunting, and I record the date. I record times. You know, if I see a deer, I record the time, you know, wind direction. And you just have to do the math. You know, just because they're underwater and they're not mammals doesn't mean that
they don't have a pattern.
They do the same thing over and over. You know, they're sure. Always changing.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's weather. It's what?
Weather.
Weather. And it's weather. And lake level. Generation level.
Yeah, power generation. I mean, if the lake's fallen, raising, if it's steadily been falling for a while,
and there's
if it's
some
steadily
spots,
been coming up for a while.
There's different spots in different parts of lakes, but, you know, that the, you know, right in the smack dab in the middle of any lake, say, I mean, the generation still affects it, but there's certain parts of the lake that generation really, really affects the fish.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take that into account, and yeah, there's just it's usually not, it's never black and white, or it's never like, well, it got to 88 degrees today and the water temperature is at yada yada yada, so I'm gonna go here. I mean, it's like, so the water's here, it was this warm today, it hasn't rained in 4 days, the generation's not doing this. I mean,
I think anybody
can go out at any point though and go find some. That's I don't want to make it sound like rocket science. Because it's not.
No.
But the dudes that win put this into effect, or will look at all these things.
And they know what fish do with certain variables doing what they're doing.
If you fish Southwest Missouri, okay, and you fished any tournament in the last 2 years, and Bow Fishing Extreme shows up.
Yep.
They are going to do well.
Yeah.
It is not just dumb luck.
I mean, Darren Freeze and Ryan Hensley, I mean, they put the time in, and
They've been doing it a while.
Yeah,
and
Darren Freeze has been doing it since I was conceived, probably.
Yeah. Before that, I heard that he got started the year after Lincoln was assassinated.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, he was shooting in Oneida, too.
That's true.
Way back then. I don't know how he got it.
He forged one out of old railroad tracks.
Oh, I used a guitar string for a,
yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know, there were metal guitar strings back then.
Well, I didn't say it was metal, I just meant it was, he used a guitar string.
Nylon?
Yeah.
I don't even know what nylon.
Yeah.
I don't know what
anyway,
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So yeah, them guys know what's going on around here. I mean, they spend enough time on the water.
That's the point. If you shoot tournaments and you see the same guys winning a lot, it's not like, oh, they go to the same hole every night. No.
Yeah.
Nope.
I think the journal thing was a good point to add. I don't keep one, but I
have a spreadsheet.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty, between me and Chad, we can pretty well remember when it was or look back on Facebook, even if we didn't post pictures like the specific day, we'll be like, oh yeah, we killed him on, we posted pictures here, but we posted them a week late or whatever, or whatever the case may be. We kind of remember that
stuff.
You
do that?
No. But
you mean to tell me that you might kill a fish out of a family pond and post pictures of them the week before the U.S. Open?
Not this year.
Not this year.
Calling me out like that. I mean, man.
You've told that story, though.
I have. I think Chad told it.
Chad told it, yeah.
Yeah. So.
It was funny, though. It got me calling you. I was like, whoa!
I'm telling you, Chase, after that comment, shooting pond fish in the Howie Mandel, I'm just very disappointed. Howie Mandel has earrings, by the way.
I mean, you throw some earrings in, it's just that much more of a lookalike.
I'm more of a Walter White guy.
Walter White.
But anyway, back to the real conversation.
I am the one that knocks.
So we've talked about, going to a lake and being really prepared.
Yep.
And using Google Earth, using water levels and all this crap. What about if you just load up and you're like, I'm going to Lake of the Ozarks tonight. I don't care what's going on. What do you think there?
What do I do there?
Yeah.
I call you.
Well, okay. So after I give...
That's real talk.
Yeah. So if I go to a lake and I have no idea, I guess I always look at the lake level, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point. It's not... You shouldn't... I mean, unless you don't have internet or don't have access to a map or, there's no reason that you roll up somewhere totally unprepared.
I mean, yeah, what if you get there and it's 30 foot low and, no, I mean,
again,
I don't,
you should have known it was 30 foot low.
Yeah, I know.
Right, right.
But, so if you roll into a place blind, I think you should just use the same.
Yeah.
The same, I guess, I'm trying to think of
the
words.
It's okay, you don't have a fish, you don't have GPS on your boat, you don't have a GPS, a Google Maps on your phone.
No, I'm just meaning like you have a GPS on your boat, but you roll into a lake, spur of the moment deal, and you go fishing. You still can look at your GPS, and it'll tell you the shallow spots. It'll tell you where creeks are. It'll tell you where the river are,
Yeah, yeah. You don't go straight for the bluff wall.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they'll be there, boys.
Yeah. They're up there sucking that moss off them rocks.
I've seen them do it. That's what them big ones are, sucking the moss off the rocks. That's ridiculous.
So I'm just a simple guy.
Okay.
And say if I've got a buddy, and we've got time.
Yep.
We've got a 3-day weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, hey, we're going to Grand Lake.
Okay. And
what should we do first? Check the water level? And then based on the time of year?
I always go Google Maps first.
So Google Maps
first. Yeah, Google Maps first.
Number one, Google Maps first.
I mean, I think the main thing with like that, you got to remember like I like fishing river arms, but you got to remember river arms are going to be super muddy sometimes.
They can be. You need to be thinking about what's the weather done recently.
It's going to be twice as muddy as the main lake. I mean, almost guaranteed.
Well, yeah, and it depends on, well.
Which may not be super muddy, but it's going to be muddier.
Sure.
So you got to think, well, do I want to, if it's been raining, let's go to the main lake and there's going to be clear water in the main lakes, or,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never been to Grand Lake. I know where I'd start if I went just from what I've been told and what I've seen by looking.
Right.
But,
I mean, I've looked at every lake within 3 hours of here, 4 hours of here, just because someday I want to. If I need to go there, I want to go there. It's like,
I'll want to go shoot a spoonbill over there.
Bingo. That's a bingo.
Yeah.
Commercial break. I'd like to take this moment to tell you an Ida story. Just kidding. We don't have sponsors.
Yep.
Or have any problems with stories based on...
It looks like we got sponsors tonight.
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
But, so back to the old cashmere killers question.
Yep.
So, just generalities. Weather's been nice.
Okay.
Hasn't been raining a lot.
Okay.
It is April.
Okay.
And a buddy and I have some time to go check out a new lake. What do we do?
You apply. So if you have some knowledge, you apply whatever knowledge you have, whatever's worked for you in the past. First of all, you say, okay, what have I been successful with?
I mean, lakes are different, but they are the same.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the species of fish is still going to do the same general thing, whether it's a mud bottom lake like Grand, which I think is pretty muddy, just naturally. And it's shallow. It's not super deep.
Right.
Versus like Tay Rock that's clear and rock bottom and pretty, you know, deep. So you think, well, what's worked here or what's worked in a similar lake that I fished, a muddier part of a lake that I fished and in April? Hopefully you can have that. If you can't deduct that, you just start looking on Google Maps and you say, this looks fishy.
I mean, I'll just flat out say it. If I was going to Grand, I'd put in on the Spring River arm and I'd run up the Spring River.
I mean, well, and even we don't even have specifics.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's any fish there.
Right.
But that's just...
The other thing I think that's important is based on what's your comfort. You know, like, I think people find different things. Like, some guys do really well, like, in the channel. Some guys do really well on the upside of a river or the downside of a river, like, in the lake channel. You know, fish what you're used to. Fish what you know how to do, and you'll first of all be able to start with more confidence because you know what to do in that situation, or you know more what to look for, versus like, you know, if you put me in a boat, the biggest, baddest, nicest boat on the planet, on Lake Michigan, I'm gonna be kind of like, ooh, I don't know where
I don't
to
have
start.
Any idea, yeah,
or
yeah.
Like, you know, some, you know, tiny lake in Texas with an airboat that I can do whatever I want. I'm still gonna be like, well, I mean, I know what I would do, but it just, again,
I take back going up the river. I think if I was going to a place for a weekend, the first night I probably would start somewhere on the main lake.
Hit your geographical points that you know work.
Yes.
You know, hit your point, hit your back of your coves, hit X, Y, and Z. Yep. And that way, if you listen, so I'll steal a line from Randy Newberg. You like take your map, right? And you mark 5 or 6 spots. And really what you're doing is you're just eliminating spots.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to these places and you're saying, okay, so points don't work. Backs of coves don't work. Let's try creeks. Or creeks don't work. Coves don't work. Let's try points. You know? And then if you strike out there, it's like, well, maybe I need to go to the river. Maybe I need to go to these little eddies. Maybe I need to find some flats. Maybe, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. But you're marking off. You're just eliminating places to go try next.
Okay.
Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Bringing it.
Yep. I didn't know. Recently on Facebook, I've seen some guys have some pretty nice, accurate fishing reports out there. I didn't know if you guys would look those up for, like, water conditions.
Yes.
And I know they're all bass fishermen.
Yes.
But the water's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you
bring in the heat.
Yeah.
Google Earth.
I use
fishing reports.
I mean, I go to all the marinas and read the fishing reports and the water temperature and, yeah.
I shoot all the big carp out from underneath the marinas, usually. That's my first go-to.
Buy a big bag of Old Roy.
No, you just got to bump the dock with the feeder on it with your boat.
It's going to ram it pretty good.
Yeah. Drop some. I mean, you can even pee off your boat and they think it's food falling in.
Yeah, they're dumb. Dumb.
I don't know how them carp fishermen only catch 2 or 3 a night.
Them carp farmers.
Carp farmers?
Oh, yeah.
I said carp fishermen.
I know. I was just...
Yeah. I gotcha.
How does Jeff Browning do it?
Well, I think he...
It's probably not PG enough to talk about on this family podcast.
Yeah, he's
he does well, and he lets everybody know where he's at all the time.
No, he does.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, that guy. I talked to him the other day. He's like, man, that last episode was like your roast to Jeff Browning. I said, you ain't got... So you better just wait for this next one.
Hold on.
Yeah, if everybody isn't a fan of the Missouri Bowfishing Association, or Bowfishing Association of Missouri.
Aren't you like the vice president of that? You don't even know what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
BAM. It's called BAM.
BAM.
Bowfishing Association of Missouri. But anyway, I posted a video of a motivational speech that Mr. Browning did for our state shoot coming up.
Boy.
Yeah.
Riveting. Really got me motivated.
Did it?
I was riled up afterwards. I got out there and I just knew I had to, if you don't want it, you're never going to get it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what exactly said.
But I thought it was any way you want it, that's the way you get it.
Maybe a different video you posted.
No, I was just quoting a song.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I thought this show was pretty, or this episode was pretty, I kind of wanted to do it because I had a guy message me and I told him some stuff to try out. And he texted me today. He's like, I shot the crap out of him last night. So
made you feel good?
Oh, it didn't make me feel good, but you can't take all the crap to the grave with you.
That's true.
You know?
All I want to do is post my rain on the beans meme and you won't let me do it. I woke up in the middle of the night and it was raining. It was raining on my beans. And I was like, there's a meme there somewhere.
Mimi.
I thought it was called a Mimi. And GIFs. GIFs and Mimis.
It's like PB&J. Peanut butter jelly time.
That was my ringtone for a long time. That was dumb.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I still have it on my phone.
So, Cashmere Killer, any concluding thoughts? Anything you want to add to this?
You know, I just want to say don't lose hope. You know, the U.S. Open was pretty rough.
BFC's coming up, yeah.
Do your homework, guys. Keep at it.
Are you guys going to shoot the other tournament, I guess? Or no, you got no, never mind. Never mind.
We didn't get in the top 20.
No, I was just thinking, I thought it was like open for anybody to shoot other lakes. But no, that's just the second night. So...
But yeah, just hang in there, you know, always be exploring new avenues to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've got.
Yeah.
Don't keep trying the same thing.
Yes, that's, don't, if you, you know what drives me crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Is people, every time they go bow fishing, they go to a flooded field and they chase those dang waves around. Well, let me tell you something. I chased one of them waves down in my kicker boat and it was about a 3-pound common. Just get the heck out of the flooded fields.
It ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, oh, around, it's the...
it's the next flooded field.
It's around the next corner. It's that...
Just around the river bend. What's that song?
Yeah.
Pocahontas.
I don't know that.
You don't know?
No.
I got all these Disney songs
you
on.
You are alone on that boat, my friend.
So.
It is, they are not around the next corner. On those flooded fields. Man, when the lake was up like it was 9:29, 9:30, we found all these flooded fields. We're like, oh, boys, here we go. We didn't shoot crap out of those fields.
You know how many flooded fields I checked? 2. I saw 0 fish in them.
That's what we did.
So I was like, I'm getting away.
This is a waste of time.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I found a gold mine on Bull. Two buddies and I made the long trek down there. Put in, and we sift through miles of just garbage, just trees and logs and leaves. We finally get to this, I mean, I bet it was 100 acres.
Yeah.
And we shot 1 8-pound common, and there were 2 other huge boats there at the same time.
Yeah.
And we were all equally disappointed.
Did you talk to him?
I did.
You remember who they were?
One boat was out of Harrison.
Yeah.
Harrison, Arkansas.
Fan boat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it...
Was it Robbie?
I think it was Robbie.
Was it a fan and a kicker?
I think so.
Yeah, Robbie.
Nice guys.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And the other boat we didn't catch up with.
Yeah.
We were out scouting right before the week of the open, and we were right in the middle of the channel just checking stuff out. And I went across the way just to say hi to these dudes. And like I said, hey guys, how's it going? And they looked at us like, or they didn't even stop. They wouldn't even talk.
It's oh, like, I've had guys do that.
Don't you know who I am?
You want a sticker?
Yeah, don't you want a sticker, man? No, I mean, I just thought.
No, I can't believe.
Usually you always roll up and it's like, hey, man, what's going on? And you, there's a little camaraderie. But these dudes were like, they were planning on winning, but they did not. I can tell you, I can promise you they did not win.
I looked for their boat at the weigh-in, and it wasn't there.
No.
It's some little, it's like, what do they call them? Like one of those, like a deck boat, like a in-between of a pontoon and a ski boat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're nice guys, and I'm sure I can fish with them and get along with them, but it's
I don't think they're nice guys.
Boys, let's just cool our jets here. Let's. I mean, we're not. Like we're not the enemy going to the Super Bowl.
I'm the worst about we can if I see a bow fishing boat, like it could be a mile down the lake. I'm like, let's go talk to him. Like, I mean,
let's go find out what they know.
Kind of that too. But
well, sure. That's part of it.
I at least go up and say hi. I mean, there's not as many of us as there are bass fishermen. So I mean, you see another bow fishing boat. I mean, most of the time you know who it is by the lights anyway. But
it's no secret. I know what you're doing here. You are looking for fish just like me.
Yeah.
I'm gigging frogs.
We can have a conversation.
I'm gigging frogs. What are you boys doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got any big toads tonight?
I still love the story of the guy that I went up to at the truck stop.
Yeah.
Just played
with him. That's pretty funny. What are you boys doing with this?
That's a long game next year. I'm going to cruise around in a bass boat and go up to every bow fishing boat and be like, man, I was night fishing up the James. I saw some big old gar up there.
Mm. What? Hey, now there's a couple kind of carp, right? There's a normal one, and there's a big one, right? Big SOB. There's a whole flock of them up there, the James. I saw like six or eight of them.
They had teeth.
They had wakes, like a 30-foot carver. Took out of there.
Oh, it's always so funny.
My friend Jim showed me. That was a big SOB fish.
Is it not funny to talk to bass fishermen when they're telling you about...
Oh, the commons?
Yes.
The 30-pounders?
30, 40-pounders, yeah.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
About knocked me off my deck of my boat.
My dad...
You roll up and it's like 3 or 4 8-poundies.
My dad's gotten better. Like, a couple of years ago, Stockton was way up, and there's a spot you can get to when it's way up, and he's like...
Oh, yeah, tell me more.
That's all I was getting to right there.
Okay.
But,
nobody does any good on Stockton.
So he... He's like, now, I don't know nothing about carp, but I saw a carp swim under my boat. It looked like a GD submarine. And I was like...
Hey, I've seen that submarine, man.
Yes.
It is real.
But with my dad, he kind of knows what we're after. So he was like, there was plenty of them in there. There was a bunch. So we went up there and didn't see any. But it may have been a daytime thing.
Listen, it can shut off that fast, though. We all know that.
Another scouting. Take advice from anybody you can get from it. From,
yeah, but I mean, yes and no.
If they give you, like, a specific hole to go to, like...
Go try it, but you better try it in the next 12 hours.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
I was going to say if they give you a specific spot, maybe don't try that. But if they're like, yeah, I've been seeing them on the, you know, pea gravel banks or whatever... What was that?
I had like a jitter shock or something.
Yeah. You know, if you've been seeing them, if they give you like some general, like, yeah, they were, you know, we've been seeing gar floating here.
That's the best kind of information.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're not giving up their spot, but they're maybe helping you out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and bass fishermen don't care. You know, it's like, yeah, kill all the gar you can.
Mm-hmm.
They just dirty up my
I still wanted to kill that.
Fish finder.
There's an albino carp on Table Rock. Oh.
Is it really?
Yeah. I had a bass fisherman send me a picture of it. You know who he is, but yeah. It was like 2 years ago and I went after it 2 or 3 nights and it wasn't there, but
so what color like an albino, is it big head? It's like orange?
Yeah, this sucker was white.
It was white. Okay. I just didn't know if it was orange or
white.
So it
was straight albino.
Yeah. So
very nice. That would be exciting.
Well, I believe we can call her a night, don't you think?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah,
we're at 57 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yep.
Any concluding thoughts?
Yeah. Well,
and that's what we've been doing for like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. If you're in one of those counties, pull your feeders and
yeah. You
know, I don't know what to do about your mineral. I mean, I guess whatever.
I mean, you can cover them up, but the deer will just dig them up. So yeah.
They recommend you cover them with dirt, like a lot.
Okay,
a lot of dirt. It's big picture stuff, guys. I know it looks bad for your upcoming season, but you know, I'm looking forward to the kids I don't have taking them deer hunting.
Yeah,
and if me not feeding the deer for a year or two helps, I'm going
to
do it.
And I'm going to break it to you guys. Feeding mineral doesn't do anything.
Well.
No, it doesn't.
Not that I can tell.
No.
Doesn't it help with the calcium process and hardening of the horns come August?
No.
Not right now.
No.
No?
No.
Well, you heard it here, folks.
It's all marketing.
Oh, yeah. I don't buy any of the fancy stuff.
I mean, I think it's like maybe good for them, but I don't think it's like gonna make your 105-inch buck a booner.
No.
Yeah. Especially when you put it out like a week before season.
That's all protein.
Yeah.
I don't need to get into that.
So anyway,
we told you enough secrets today.
Yep. So.
Hey, seriously, like, share, you know,
work, subscribe,
or we need some help. Okay. We just can't afford it anymore.
Pate's Daubers down over here, and we haven't seen our logo in the top 200 outdoor podcasts in a while. So
hook a brother up, you know, if you like it, you know, spread the word.
Yeah,
we're, you know,
I'm not begging, but I am.
Listen, there's like other podcasts that haven't put an episode out since September, and they're still in the top 200. So fix it.
Yeah,
please.
Just get us ahead of the Trout Porn podcast.
Oh my gosh! Every week that you're beating us.
Yeah,
I have to look those guys up.
Go give them a bad rating. And Pate sent me a picture the first time we cracked the top 200, and I noticed right above ours it said Trout Porn. I was like, Trout Porn? He's like, what? I was like, look right above our deal. He's like, oh, I don't listen to that.
I promise. I swear. Honey, I swear I don't listen to that.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious about it, but.
Yeah. Not enough to actually listen.
All righty then. Let's go.
All right, guys.
Get back home.
Yeah. It's been good.
Yep.
We'll talk to you later.
Insert cheesy exit line.
Hey. Yeah.
See ya.
Stay rough.
Yeah. No. Are you still recording?